If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, Jan Plord. Nice to have you here. And we are going to talk about you. We're going to talk about the REAL program. We're going to talk about everything literacy outdoors. So let's just start with the REAL program, which you founded, and tell us a little bit about yourself and that story.
The story. So the story of the REAL program is I founded it in 2013 because I was made aware when I went to Lynn to do some volunteer work. This is Lynn, Massachusetts, a city nearby where there's over 100,000 people that are from very diverse backgrounds. And it's one of these struggling third-tier cities. So when I say that, I was sort of like somebody hit me in the chest with a very heavy something, because when I learned that there's only one public library for that entire population, it made me just so sad, angry, disappointed. I felt a sense of urgency to try to do something. So I started the REAL program, which is Reading, Educational Assistance, and Learning. And it's been a journey for this many years now. What it has evolved into being is with some incredible mentorship and friendship from our friend Victoria Hackett, who introduced me to the idea of a little free library. Little did she know that I would take it and put it on steroids by putting them on pretty much every block in the city of Lynn these days to try to get books to children. And to date, we have collected and distributed over 350,000 children's books.
Wow.
That we have put into Lynn with that campaign. In addition to that, we have been operating out of 17 Atlantic Street in Lynn, where we have a Reggio Emilia-inspired preschool that has hopefully the best practices in teaching and learning. And we also have what I call the Before Home program, which is basically the concept of an after-school program that I've turned on its head because I don't believe children need more school. And it's a home-like setting with lots of people that are there because they just want to love these kids and take care of them and give them all the opportunities they were able to give their own children. We also had that opportunity growing up. These children do not have. They do not have the heritage of literacy in many cases. So that's a big part of that. We also have English classes for the parents. We have English and quilting, as a matter of fact, where they learn to quilt and have English at the same time, which is absolutely amazing. It really is.
Brilliant.
It is, actually. It's very, very cool that we have people that have all these talents. So it's mostly volunteers that come and help, mostly retired teachers who help mentor high school and college students that we work with nearby colleges, North Shore Community College, Salem State, Endicott, Gordon, basically the same group that I've worked with for, it feels like, centuries now. Different people, same institutions, you know. it's a labor of love. And when people ask me when I'll retire, and I say, well, will you retire from a job? This is not a job. This is what I choose to do. And so why would you choose to walk away from what you choose to do? So,
yeah, it's beautiful. So, what an impact. And to think about all the little free libraries that people are using, and you've had little free walks. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And I'd love to hear about how you have transformed your outdoor space as well.
Of course, the outdoor space is very exciting, actually. Wait till you see it next. So the little free libraries, we are trying to become the city with the most little free libraries per capita in the United States, so that the city of Lynn's reputation becomes something better than what it has known to be. Because it's a tough, gritty city. It's always been an industrial city, even from colonial times. And so with that is a lot of things that they either have earned or didn't earn, but somehow got the reputation. What I can say, what Lynn has that is remarkable to me, is youth. And what it brings to a city is the idea that we are ignoring the incredible resource of youth by not doing better for them, better with them, listening to them. I mean, you name it. You know, it's a huge, huge deal that the neighboring cities or towns do not have that many youth. And so when you think about, I mean, you hear about countries like Japan and Italy are now struggling because they don't have youth as countries. Well, that's kind of what it is with the neighboring communities around Lynn. And the other communities, my feeling is, as suburbia, we actually need to do more in our cities because we need that youth.
Yeah.
And we need educated youth. We need sophisticated, learned, thirsty to learn people who are, that's who I meet. Mm. And, you know, the thing that I also am always impressed by is the difficulties that these families live is amazing and really like, wow, how do you do this all the time? But the children have love. Mm. And that means a lot because you can do a lot when you have love. And that's what I see. Yeah.
Ah. Gives me goosebumps. The beautiful.
Yeah, I know.
It's a wonderful. We went to a concert last night and it was in someone's backyard, and it was just the artist was amazing. He was sort of a storyteller and musician, and he sort of ended with all his songs had this sort of thread of love in it. Mm-hmm. And it was such a reminder of, especially now, that we desperately need to lean and hold onto that. And I love how you're describing it with our youth. It's just such a wonderful reminder that it's there.
Absolutely.
We really have to tap into it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your outdoor space at The Real Program?
Sure.
And how that's impacted your program and their kids and all that good stuff?
Well, like you, I have been very fortunate in my life to have had nature and the outdoors as a prevalent part of my life. And I seek it daily still, by it keeps me grounded, no pun intended. But Reggio Emilia is a philosophy of learning and teaching, and many people are not aware of what it means. But for me, it just seems, it makes so much sense to me, because the idea of the teacher as the main person in a classroom, the difference in Reggio Emilia that came out of Italy was that the idea is that the teacher is the teacher. The child themselves are their own teacher. That we forget, or we just have never been taught, that the child actually is their own teacher by all the opportunities that they get to explore in nature. Especially in nature, that their families are their teacher and the environment is a teacher. And if we think about that, I mean, I can tell you junior high school homeroom classroom. I can tell you what was on those walls even now, because that was what was around us. And it was never changed. It was completely overlooked as a teaching tool. And I just specifically remember that so vividly. And it just reminds me daily that we need to be able to provide beautiful stuff for these children. So we've been very fortunate to be in a place where we have lots of artists and people who are generous with their talents and their hearts. So we have a fellow named Gary White who lives near the Real Program, who's taken our beautiful raised box garden that wasn't effective because we have too much shade. So we turned that into a sand sculpture garden. Oh. And that is the coolest thing, because we learned that nearby Revere Beach sand sculpture contests import their sand. It's not the sand from the beach. It's river sand, and river sand is very sort of like kinetic sand. It has so many minerals in it, it actually attracts to itself almost like cement-like. It's very interesting. It's way different texture, and it holds. So that's where that sculpting is so incredible, but it holds. And yeah, so Gary has been... He introduced us to the idea of sculpting with sand, and he is a sand sculptor. He's an internationally renowned teaching artist. He's taught and lived in so many different countries, and we're just incredibly fortunate to have him there. We've also had the incredible talents of Bruce Orr, who introduced us to the work that he has done with youth. And so we have this giant purple octopus tentacle in the front yard of our place, which people look at me like, why? And I'm like, why not? I mean, are you going to forget the place with the purple octopus tentacle? You are not. And we have a boat in the front yard to go with our purple octopus tentacle that we have plants in, so that it's a garden box. And so what's happening now is we were started by building, Gary is my guy doing this, started by introducing him to the idea of a sensory walkway to put next to our path that brings us out to the yard. But he took it to a whole different level that I have never, ever, ever in my wildest dreams thought could be what it is. I mean, like the purple octopus tentacle, it was beyond me. I mean, I wanted an ocean theme, but, you know. But what Gary has done with the help of a senior from Marblehead High School who did her senior project with us, she did not know any of this stuff, but she's found out that she's actually a pretty good artist and has really enjoyed working with Gary. So she's been his assistant, but Gary took a place where we had a tree that had to come down, so there's a stump. And so he basically covered that stump with bricks and flagstones and all different things by putting them all together with cement, and then basically has created with little archways with little dinosaur figurines embedded in it and little jewels of hearts and all these different things that children are just curious as heck about. And so it is, as of yesterday, he was putting a third level on this because he saw that they want to sit on it and that they feel royal on their castle. Isn't that funny? Yeah.
So he was following the child, so to speak?
Basically, it was basically being inspired by what the children are inspired by.
Yeah.
And that's like, how lucky are we get to do that?
Yeah.
You know, so we have a mud kitchen, which is generally pretty exciting. We have some hard surface. Yeah.
Your mud kitchen is pretty big.
Actually, that one got retired. So we have a smaller one now. And I do miss my really big one. But,
yeah.
But we did have to retire the big one. So we have a stage where children can be, you know, that can be a place where they call it an island. It can be a stage. We have karaoke on occasion. I mean, because we also, because of this nature of our working with children 3 to 5 in the mornings in the starting small preschool, then we also jump into the after school piece of children being 5 to 11 years old or even 12 years old. So everything has to be suitable for that entire age group.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a playground. You have to be able to make it so that it's suitable for little ones, but not unsafe. And also incredibly durable for that growing little boy that wants to just see how strong they are. Not so much little girls on that, but the little boys for sure. Yeah. We have a 4-square court, which is always a very popular thing with the older children. And it gets pretty competitive out there. And we are within walking distance of Red Rock Park, which is about just, I'd say, it's a little over a quarter of a mile away. So it's good walking distance. And that is a place where they can literally run and climb trees and really have that feeling of freedom that children really need. So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. Do you see and feel the effects of, and you are in the city, of kind of creating this type of space, these outdoor spaces for children in a city that they wouldn't necessarily have these experiences? Because you also have a summer program where you bring them to Beverly Farms in same Massachusetts, but it's not like Lynn. It's a very different environment. Do you see any difference in your children that are with you and the impact that maybe nature and the outdoors has had on their growth?
Yeah, I definitely do. And I definitely do know from our interns, these are the kids that have been children at the Real Program now, 17, 18, 19 years old, because that's what happens, who are now, a couple of them are going to be taking my child growth and development class that I'm teaching on Wednesday nights this summer at nearby North Shore Community College. The idea is that, for example, when I talk with them about what it feels like to walk around in Beverly Farms versus inland, they tell me it just feels so different and it feels safe. And that is something that we cannot overstate as it needs to be felt and unraveled. Wow, it's just incredibly difficult. It's incredibly difficult. And right now it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've had, like you said before, these kids have stayed with you over the years.
Yeah.
It's become this big family. And you had this incredible tea party and fundraiser. And I was actually sitting next, I didn't even recognize him, this young man who was quite young. He was just in high school when I met him. And
he was 14 then.
Yeah, I didn't even recognize him. It was crazy. But it was just the impact that he sort of came back. He's going off to law school. And and to think about, and again, all the other folks that sort of came up that day and to see their growth and commitment to what you have created. And it's essentially like what you said, it's a family.
Well, it's about love, really. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It truly is.
And do you think that being outdoors and being in nature and has guided them in any way in terms of where they're going? Or
I think for some, for sure, they definitely would not have had the depth and breadth of experiences that we have provided them. And I'm always blown away by, you know, the times they'll say to me, I've never done this before, you know, or I've never even seen anything like this. I mean, the young people, they are helping at the tea party. They're like, Miss June, I've never been to a tea party, you know. What's a tea party, you know? And I said, well, this is a little different than a lot of tea parties. But And I think pretty much every tea party is a little different. But
it was elegant. It was just fabulous. So you, again, have so many areas of focus with the Real program. Any other success stories that you would like to share? You've done the Little Free Libraries are now all over Lynn, and you are known as the book lady. So if anybody wants to donate books, we go to Jan Plourd. And I have a box of books in my car. So thinking about any other success stories that you'd like to share, I know there's millions and millions and millions, but any that jump out.
So we have many students that are going off to college, or they have been accepted to area private schools, and they are thriving in the environment and struggling sometimes because they live in two different cultures that way. But the opportunities that they are provided are amazing, and they know it. And that, to me, it gives me a great deal of pride and satisfaction that that young person's going to be able to make their world a better place. Mm. And it's going to be a better place for them, but it's a better place for their families and that kind of stuff. That to me is like a daily success story, which I can't honestly understand why more people don't do what I'm doing.
Yeah. So we got Little Free Libraries. You've got the teaching English as a second language while they're quilting, which is the brain development with that is the you could just even dissect that with the neuroscience of doing an activity while you are learning another language, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. You have your preschool program, which just got off the ground.
Yeah.
That's been in the works for years and years and years, and now it's exactly come to fruition. Yeah. And then you have a whole bunch of fundraisers. So you've got your golf tournaments, your tea parties, your all sorts of different events so you can stay alive, so to speak, and service these
young
children.
Yeah. We are primarily existing on the generosity of others who are grateful that we're doing it and also grateful that they have the opportunity to provide some help, whether it's through donating books, whether it's helping do Little Free Library builds. We are doing one tomorrow at Endicott College in the afternoon. So there's many of these things happening, and it does help to spread the word that our communities need each other to do better. And I think that's the biggest thing that I can say about that. And we are, you know, we are not a government-funded program per se. We have achieved a few grants that have helped us, but mostly it's basically private donations that have sustained us.
So can you speak a little bit about, and I know we're not speaking the whole time on outdoor classrooms, but I love the idea, and we talk a lot about this in our community, is just we are better together, like just reaching out to your community. So you work with different college students, you work with high schools, you work with private sectors, public sectors. There's all of these balls in the air and all of these people that you have connected with to sort of make this happen. Can you give any tips and tricks to our listeners that might want to do the same for their outdoor classroom program or wherever they are at, or how to reach?
Well, first of all, we'd be happy to speak with them to help them on that for sure. We've got somebody who has reached out to me who is in Southern Florida, who is doing a similar kind of a program based on what they learned about us. And so that's interesting. Another young lady's doing it in Utah. So we've got a few that have reached out that are trying to do the same because they are, like me, feeling like these children just need people to help them get the joy of reading. They get the mechanics of reading at school, but the joy of reading comes from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. School does not have enough time for that. Although, I mean, the most incredible teachers are the ones that carve out that time. Mm-hmm. Somehow they prioritize that time. And I mean, they still impact me from my youth of the people that read stories to us. And that was not part of the quote unquote curriculum, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's those people that truly do make a difference because they share that love of reading. And when you read with children, you're actually sharing a part of you. And you don't get that from a tablet. You don't get that from a television or a movie or a computer game. And, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, adults say children don't want to read anymore. And that's not true. We give out so many books and they are children's books. So they do want books, and it's not them. It's the adults who can't give them the time for whatever reason, for whatever reason. And that's socioeconomically, that's not because people can't afford them, because people who can afford them are not reading with children very much these days. So it's tricky, very tricky. But what I can say is, just take it from the place that you are and just start. I mean, put a little free library in front of your place and just see what happens. I mean, it's really a valuable piece. And I also think of literacy really, in my mind, is community, because literacy is about being able to read and write and speak and listen and truly communicate. Well, that's about communicating sometimes in nature, but sometimes it's in neighbors.
Yeah. When I put my little free library out, it was like watching a bird feeder. And when a person came, and I was like, oh my goodness, there's someone there. It was as if there was a bird coming to its feeder.
Yeah.
So, and it does. Yep. I think it's also an invitation.
Yes.
And we talk about provocations and invitations for learning. I think it's just an invitation to build community. And I think having them, again, what you've done in Lynn is incredible. And I see even more popping up all over Beverly here. So it's it's very cool. And I think it's really incredible what it does to a community to bring the community together. And it's, again, it's just outdoors. It's a little box with books in it. And I love how you describe literacy, is that it's love, it's community, it's connection, it's all of these things. It's not just reading, or it's there is reading, but it's passion and mission is to have that love for reading. And do you feel like the kids that are leaving your program, I don't think they ever leave, because it's family, but that they actually leave feeling like they have this love for reading?
I think some do more than others. And they certainly do remember. So I do a group reading. I call it, when we have the children in the after school hours, I tell the children, if you are a chapter book kid, you come here. Mm-hmm. And if you're a picture book kid, you go here. It's nothing to do with their reading level, but it's where they see themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll ask them to divide themselves up by, do you know how to do multiplication versus, you know, addition and subtraction, and they decide where they are. And they're not always the same kids, because some kids are readers and not necessarily good at math. Some kids are mathematicians and not very good at reading. So often they're not always the same kids. But what I truly, truly love is reading with the children, where I give them a copy of the same book I'm reading, and we read and discuss at the same time, because they're looking at words they don't know.
Yeah.
They are all going home to to families whose English is not their spoken language at home. So their vocabulary, they're getting this huge, much bigger vocabulary through the books and things that we're doing with them. And then there's lots of programs out there that are encouraging you to read, you know, how many books you can read, how many minutes on reading, and that sort of stuff, which I applaud, but it's not deep. It's broad. And we need to be deep for children to be excited about reading and have it just be part of them, you know?
Yeah.
So we did, I started with reading a great children's book called Donovan's Word Jar. And it's a sweet, sweet story of a little boy who's not white, who lives in the city. He doesn't have a collection, and all of his friends have a collection. They have cars, they have marbles, they have stones, they have stamps. He doesn't know what to collect. So then somebody says something to him about, why don't you collect words? So he collected words that he could read. It's just the gorgeous thing. And his chapters are like 1.5 pages long. So, I mean, it's, you know, second, third grade reading.
Perfect.
But it's one that inspires a little bit of magic, you know?
Yeah.
I won't tell you the whole story, but it's adorable. And then I'm just giving a tease here. And then the one that I did when we had the pandemic, we did Book Buddies over Zoom, and we did Because of Winn-Dixie.
Yeah.
And that was so inspirational because there's so many layers in that. Children don't know what a preacher is. Children don't know a lot of these things that this little character in the story is going through until we talk about it. And, you know, when we talk about it, this little kid has a tough life. But when we talk about it, a lot of these kids can relate to some of this stuff. And, you know, they really, they want to read it. And that to me is like, you know, they come in, we get to meeting, we do a chapter or two, and then get on with their day. But, you know, we also do Khan Academy on a tablet, which is an important thing because they don't have enough time to do any sort of practice at home or at school. There's just not enough time.
Yeah.
So, and we learned that they need to do that in a group with us there to guide them because at home they don't have that for a variety of reasons. So,
incredible. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could talk to you all night. Is there is there any other tips, tricks, story, one last story, or anything you want to share with our community before we leave?
Well, just one little guy at our program now, he started 2 months ago with no English whatsoever, and he is 3 and a half, and he calls me Miss Jam. Miss Jam. I am Miss Jam. So I do get all kinds of names, but Miss Jam, Miss Jam. So he says to me today, don't be so dramatic. Exactly. This is all a guy who's had no English till 8 weeks ago. And he's telling me, don't be so dramatic. Yeah. Yeah.
I love
that. Or the other fun story is Simon Says. I did Simon Says with the preschoolers. I get to be the specialist one day a week. So I did Simon Says with them, and I said, wait, who's Simon? And they go, huh? You know, they're looking at me. So one little girl says, he's in your head. I went, oh. So I do it like this, and I pull it up out of my head like this, and I put it to my ear, and I'm like, oh. Simon was in my head. Now he's in my hand. So Simon is on this planet. But why do we have to listen to his directions?
There it is. That's great.
But is that a helpful hint? No, it's just to be playful and to enjoy the work. Or don't do it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And love. I think love is weave it with love.
You gotta have it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jan.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being one of my inspirations.
Oh, Jan. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com. To learn more about enrolling in the certification program, don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.